None of these artists are sort of household names, and they're not in mainstream entertainment, and they're not, you know, celebrities of a certain kind of sort. They may be in their own country of origin, but not necessarily here. So I think people went into the festival last year going, I hope that there's going to be something in it for me, but they really led with their curiosity and led with the kind of, I'm going to give it a go. And they ended up coming out going, oh my God, I've now seen like 11 things. I had no idea, and I'll never forget them. And I think that that same dynamic will happen this year.
Your curatorship was expected to jumble things up from some of the more showbiz, well-known names. Do you think that that was then accepted?
You know, there was a lot of work on the Ariane Mnuchin being, you know, when she was first coming here in Théâtre du Soleil, many people, she's not a household name. Is she one of the top theater directors on the planet working today of her generation? Absolutely. Is she a celebrity? No. Is she a household name? No. Will she be forgotten in Australia? No. That's pretty beautiful.
With the 2006 version then, how hard is it to keep people on the edge of their seats and eager for the next?
I guess I really try and find ways that I can connect people to work that they wouldn't know about unless they took the chance to come along. And what they'll encounter is very seasoned, very accomplished aesthetics and artists who have a very strong and mature vision and a great commitment to their art forms. So it's that kind of thing of how do you remind audiences to seek meaningfulness in something that seems unknowable.
And you do this to some extent with a theme, and this year's theme is place. Can you tell us about the gestation of this theme of place?
Often as you're traveling, as you're looking at work, you start finding that artists from different parts of the world are concerned with similar issues. Now that can be content, it can be current affairs, it can be their art form or a way that they're going to push at you know, the formal elements of theater or dance or music. And what I found in going into 2006 was that if in some way the cohesion of the festival in 2005 was about a kind of sense of journey and the odysseys that human beings are undertaking to altogether unknowable places and different places and unfamiliar places, 2006 is really about how do we come to terms with the places that seem the most familiar to us. Our home, our nation, our other nations, ourselves in a way. So it's a kind of, it's a festival that's asking questions about, in a time period of tremendous dynamic change all over the world, how do we ground ourselves in that which is familiar and how do we connect to it and to each other?
With that nationalism, say if we use that as one particular word pulled out of what you just said, how is nationalism impacting the arts at the moment? And
it's much more about questioning nationalistic fervor, what's happening in the world, what's happening in countries where you can see the fever of a nationalistic and very simplistic view of heritage. So they're questioning a lot about why is that happening, or how is it that I can reconcile that although I disagree with the direction the country's going, whatever country that might be, I am still of that place, and how do I reconcile that? What do I do? So there's a lot of excavation of that. Like Bill T. Jones and Arnie Zane's dance company, they do a project that'll close out the festival. It's called Blind Date, and it very much asks questions of what is this fervor? What is religious righteousness? This sense of righteousness and the growth of that. What is a sense of pride and heritage? How does one reconcile all of these different things? Especially in his case, he's asking from a very personal set of, as an African-American man, as a gay man in a George Bush regime, how do I reconcile that I am American?
You're renowned for your cross-disciplinary abilities, being able to pull visual arts as well as performance arts together in under the one season or roof. Is it happening across all the media, this questioning of nationalism at this point in time and of place?
No, I mean, not all artists are gravitating towards that kind of content by any stretch of the imagination, nor is the International Arts Festival the all-inclusive catch of everything that's happening right now. It's a kind of core sampling in a way. and focus, I tend to focus on the contemporary makers and work that's emerging over the past couple of years. So it's really a very current look at what is happening aesthetically with artists internationally. And yes, it's crossing from, you know, dance and visual art, photography, painting, et cetera, et cetera. So not everyone's doing that, but there's what I would say all of the artists are doing in one way or another are also asking us to look at essentially one of their predominant homes, which is their art form, and experience what they're doing to that. One of the things that's been fascinating to me, it's been happening for a long time, but really seems to have sped up quite rigorously, quite honestly, since after September 11th, and it's a increased, artists are working across cultures and across international boundaries. And so in a way, it's sort of artists becoming these global citizens that are building bridges and changing their art forms because of it. I mean, a great example, master theater maker Robert Wilson. The project that we're bringing this year is called Ilegaligo. It's 50 of Indonesia's top performing artists and musicians that make up the cast. And it comes off of an ancient Bugis text, which is longer than the Mahabharata and akin to, you know, the Odyssey, Homer's Odyssey, in a way. It took many, many years to develop the work. He worked in Indonesia. They spent a lot of rehearsal time, very different than working in the top theaters of Europe. And so what caused that international exchange, that collaboration between him and the Indonesian cast around that particular text, you know, living across different kind of countries? And if you see it, it's the same. Jerome Bell and Pichet Klunchen, French choreographer, Thai master con dancer, coming together. Lucy Guerin and Kota Yamazaki. You see, Carson Nicolai and Ryuichi Sakamoto and their project Insane. In a way, you have to look at artists and say, well, where is your home now? Because you're actually having to function in multiple countries simultaneously in order to make your new work. There's a reason that they're crossing those boundaries, and I think it's important for us to explore them.
There's also some other thematics happening this year in the festival with various anniversaries. The 400th year since first contact was made between the Dutch and Indigenous Australia is a very powerful anniversary. The 25th anniversary of the Australian-Japan Friendship Treaty, and I think the 40th anniversary of Mexico and Australia.
Establishing diplomatic relations,
What are some of the examples, maybe just one example of each?
Probably the most potent coming together officially under the year of Japan and Australia's exchange, 2006, is collaborating with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra and the Art Center to bring orchestra ensemble Kanazawa, and they're mixing, adding some Australian instrumentalists into the mix. This is one in which a number of organizations collaborated together to make that project happen, and it's a very important to Japan, the ensemble is, and clearly Iwaki has been very important to Australia. So that's one in particular. When I look and I think about it, I mean, I've worked with Japanese artists for many, many years, contemporary artists, before I came to Australia. So in 2004, when I knew it was going to have this kind of celebration of sorts, I started to really think about, you know, what kind of Japanese work hasn't been seen here, what are contemporary Japanese artists doing, who are their Australian counterparts, things like that.
About Indigenous Australia and the Dutch.
Absolutely. Oh, wow, that project. Massive. Let's see. I think the most ambitious is a combination of the VCA, the Victorian College for the Arts, in collaboration with their counterpart in Amsterdam, Das Arts, and Jan Vandenberg, who's a director in the Netherlands, and Richard Murfitt here are co-directing a project called Navigators. This project basically is 24 young artists who basically have been doing residencies and research and meetings up in Indigenous Australia and points where that first contact was. And they basically ask the question, what is a navigator for the 21st century now, and what was the impact of that first contact, and what do we do with that now? And so that's what their project is.
Mexico, Australia.
Yeah.
No. Wow. What's that? How does that mix eventually?
Oh, if I have my way. No. I love Mexico. I love Mexican culture, and of course, I miss being imbued in it, being here. Basically, my interest was bringing the Nortec Collective. And these guys are amazing. They're from Tijuana, which is a border city right under LA. It's a kind of a hotly contested place in many, many respects, but it's also very rich in its heritage and its traditions and its bits of infamy, I would say. And the Nortec Collective are basically, it's not like a band or an ensemble or thing. It's an entire electronic music aesthetic. And they have multiple screen projections that are kind of samplings, visual samplings of Tijuana, life in Tijuana. And then they also mix Norteña, which is, it's like high and low tech meeting. And it's also building Mexican musical traditions inside of what they were listening to coming in the European electronic music scene of their parents' generation, that they've kind of merged and melded all together into this incredible musical kind of collaborative thing. It's phenomenal. Some people call it the happiest place on earth. Others say it's a dangerous place. It has been the city of sin. But you know, I don't care.
It's a huge progress.
Yes.
500 artists, 17 days.
Mm.
What's the best way to approach something like this?
It's hard to go, well, what are the highlights? Because your highlight may be very different than my own. And therefore, you have to make room for people to find their way to connect to the work. So we set up a whole bunch of different discount packages, which if you get the guide or you go online, you can access. And there, we created these series of ones that are experience-oriented. So truly, you can have a festival experience that's around the idea, if you perceive yourself as a kind of explorer or adventurer, you can go that route. If you are interested in design and technology, you could come into work from that route. So we've created a bunch of portals, really, for people to self-select how they'll get into the performances. It's very accessible. There's lots of free stuff that's really great work. People are absolutely welcome to absolutely everything, but they gotta signal something about what they're interested in.